Wonderful Christ Ministry Sunday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Sunday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Sunday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, our proclamation scripture and prayer. And at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. It is Youth Weekend. We had a beautiful lineup of youth yesterday. They did a great job. And on the this is the fourth Sunday. And this is the study that we give our youth an opportunity to participate in our morning worship service. And, you know, we have had a lot of power outages, and so our youth are not available for us today. And we're just going to keep them in prayer, okay? All right. Why we are here, proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Amen. And I will be reading for your hearing Romans 3, 19 through 26, titled Righteousness Through Faith. And here's the word of God. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silent, and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sins. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jews and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as to be just and to who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service now or later. Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word lift Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask all these blessings. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
stay on my mind, live in me. Your song flows through my lips, your words move through my head. Your thoughts stay on my mind, live in me. And you can give you all of me.
Cry out a sound of surrenderance tonight. Come on, I won't feed it to you. Our prayer tonight is that's our heart's cry. It sounds great, put some music, but it doesn't matter if it's not in your heart. It means nothing if you just say it with your mouth. So tonight my prayer is that you match your confession with your heart's posture. God, tonight as we cry out, God, you can have all of me. God, we expose every hidden thing, every secret thing, every dirty thing we don't want anyone to see. God, tonight we give it to you. Yes, you can have all of us. Have all of us. Have all of us. Sing, I'm yours. I'm yours. Sing, I give you all. Give you all of me. Give you all.
Amen. That's what the Lord wants to hear today. Will you tell him today that I'm yours? Amen. Amen. That's what this is all about, right? We call it the divine exchange, exchanging all our old stuff for the new stuff. Romans chapter 12 tells us to seek the new stuff so we can know what the new is for us. God got new for us, y'all. But you know what? We ain't going to get nothing from the Lord. Jesus told us when you ask the Father anything in my name, Jesus said it's all in my name. Amen. There's power in the name of Jesus. So you need to use that name. Peter used that name. He said, Lord, save me. Tell me Jesus didn't show up and save him. I ain't going to sing the song. I'm going to go ahead and let CC Wine and sing it. It's all in your name, Jesus. Come on, somebody.
It's all in your name.
Amen. We are not those who get what we want like the pagans do. They get sunshine, they get rain, but they pagans, amen. They ain't asked to come into the world, so God provide them with everything. But we can do what Jesus said. When you want something, you say, our Father who art in heaven. See, pagans can't say that. A blind man over in John chapter 9 told us that God does not hear sinners. Amen. That's why we have to pray, church, all this stuff going on in the world. The world can't, they can have a world day of prayer. They don't know Jesus. We the only ones who can contact heaven to affect some kind of change on earth. We the only ones who can make God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know how we do that? By the mention of his name. When Peter mentioned his name in Acts chapter 3, a man who couldn't walk, who had been lame for over 40 years, got up and walked. Amen? When Jesus' name was mentioned and demons heard that name that Paul mentioned in Philippians chapter 16, they had to go. Amen? But if you don't know Jesus, you can't mention the name because the seven sons of Sceva tried to mention the name in Acts chapter 19. It did not work. Amen. So you got to know Jesus to mention the name because at the mention of his name, I'll let Fred start tell you the rest.
lily in the valley you are, bright and morning star you are. Heart seeks us, I can call on you. It's my mind regulated. Can we just call on his name together? We say Jesus.
Jesus.
Go and invite him in.
Jesus.
He'll meet you at your knees.
Jesus.
He's Lord over sickness.
Jesus.
Sickness has to bow.
Jesus.
Poverty is defeated.
Jesus.
'Cause at the mention of his name,
amen. Jesus, you are Lord. Yes, you are. Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. Celebrating black history. After this election, we will have a great known history fact by our very own 2023 high school senior, Nedra Gaston, who has her heart and mind and plans set on medical school. So after this selection, we will have our little known black history fact.
So somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother, and I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my.
Good morning, everyone, and here is your Black History Fact. Dr. Rebecca Lee Crumpler was born in Delaware on February 8, 1831. Dr. Rebecca Lee Crumpler was the first Black woman to earn a medical degree in the United States. When she was little, she lived with her aunt, who would take care of sick neighbors. These experiences inspired her to pursue a career in nursing. She would pursue her chances to become a doctor by attending the New England Female Medical College in 1860 and earning her degree in 1864. A true pioneer, she battled deep-seated prejudice against women and African Americans in medicine. After earning her degree in Boston, she spent time in Richmond, Virginia, after the American Civil War, caring for formerly enslaved people. In 1883, Dr. Rebecca Lee Crumpler published her book of medical discourses. It chronicles her experiences as a doctor and provides guidance on maternal and child health. Dr. Rebecca Lee Crumpler passed away on March 9, 1895, at the age of 64.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Change is going to come, and that was beautiful. Thank you, our little Queen Nedra, for that beautiful and proud Black History Fact. Have a beautiful day. Thank you. All right.
You're welcome.
And also, okay, have a beautiful day, sweetheart. And also, thank you, Pastor O, for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have been moved and encouraged, and we thank you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own man of God, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Associate Pastor Terrence Tate coming his own way and pray to the Lord.
Amen. I just want to give thanks to God for this selection. I got it from my wife the other day. She heard it, told me about it, and we hope that you enjoy it.
Your name is great and greatly to be praised. All glory and honor is to your name. We reverence your great name. We will call on your name. Call on your great name. Call on
Gracious God and our Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to bring our prayers, petitions, and requests to you. Father, first of all, we praise you and we thank you for letting us see another day that we haven't seen before. We thank you and we praise you for letting us use this day to do your work that you have assigned for us to do. Father, there are some of your people out there who need a spiritual healing. Father, you said it Isaiah 26:3, I will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on me. Father, your word says in Isaiah 55:8 that my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Father, we ask that you just fill us out with the spiritual nourishment that you have provided, that you have given us a chance to be nourished by. Father, you said it, 2 Chronicles 7:14, that if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Father, our land needs healing, but the only way our land can get the healing that it needs from you is if we would turn away from evil and turn toward you in our time of need, in our time of distress, and in our time of sadness, because you are the only one who can do something about what we are dealing with. Father, you said in Philippians chapter 4, you said, don't worry about anything, pray about everything. And you said, if you're going to worry, don't pray. If you don't pray, don't worry. Father, your word says that you will provide, you will supply our needs according to the riches of Jesus Christ according to your riches and your glory through Jesus Christ. Father, we just ask that you have your way in the preacher today. Let him be used by you, and let him give a word that we all can live by. But Father, let us not just live by the word that the preacher gives us. Let us do the word that the preacher provides for us. And we ask you to create in us a clean heart, renew in us a right spirit, so that we can hear what the preacher has to say through you. Father, it's a privilege to pray to you and to pray with you. But right now, I pray this prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Power and prayer. We just thank you. Thank you, Pastor Tate, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you, and have a beautiful day.
I will. You too. Thank you.
I will. Thank you. All right. We are having an excellent service today, like always. So far, we're having a great time this morning with more to come. And, you know, I want to just thank all the youth serving for this special youth weekend. We want to make sure we keep all our youth lifted up in prayer all over this beautiful world, because, you know, we need you to survive. Also, I want to just thank all the known Black History Facts and all the participants. Just thank you. You just made our services so colorful and beautiful. Amen. All right. Okay. And then I want to just say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Sunday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today and forever. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen. Everyone have a beautiful day. All right. Okay. Time for the preach word. The best part. A message from God. Icing on the cake. Following this selection, the next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing is our very own man of God, Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate. Let's prepare to receive Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate coming his own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this brand new day. We thank you for a brand new opportunity to praise you and to worship you and to live for you and with you. Pray right now, Lord, that you will walk with us through this passage that you have blessed us with for this audience at this designated time. And we pray, Lord, that you will move me out of the way and help me to be a pure vessel for you. Pray right now, Lord, that we've fallen short of your glory because we've all sinned, Lord, but we know that we can confess our sins and be cleansed from all unrighteousness. And we thank you for that. Thank you for this broadcast. Thank you for each and everyone that's listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. My name is Jonathan Tate. I'm one of the assistant pastors at Running for Christ Ministries. And today we will be exploring 1 Timothy chapter 4. For those of you who have heard me before, I'll keep saying it. It seems like the Lord waits until the very last minute for his word to be delivered to me so that I could deliver it to you. But I'm thankful that he has equipped me and that he uses me to deliver his word. Amen. Excuse me. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I will be reading out of the NIV. The chapter 4 says, "The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. This is Paul's first letter to Timothy. Timothy was someone who was held in high regard, basically as a young preacher, as a young teacher, and a young leader. So when Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, he actually was trying to prepare him to how to deal with leaders or instructions for leaders. That's pretty much what chapter 4 is. And Paul wrote this in about AD 64, right before his final imprisonment. And Paul was basically trying to send Timothy these instructions for the church regarding the church at Ephesus. There were a lot of things that were going left at, you know, Ephesus being a young church. There were things that we will see, that we will explore, that the leaders of that church were putting out in a false way. So verse 1 says, the Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. So the Spirit here is talking about God, the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Pretty much false teachings. So these later times that they were referring to was basically after Jesus' ascension back to heaven up until what's going on now. So these would be considered those later times. That time after Jesus ascended to heaven up until right now, this present day. And we've seen where people have abandoned the faith and they follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. And what was happening at that time at the Church of Ephesus is that there were basically false teachings. People would basically present the Word of God their own twist to it, you know, to basically feed whatever agenda that they were promoting at that time. And it says, such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. So basically, their consciences were numb. When you use a hot iron to sear anything, like say if you have a really bad wound, if you sear it with the hot iron, it stops the bleeding and cauterizes the actual wound. So it basically kind of makes it numb. I mean, you still may feel pain, but after a while, there won't be any bleeding. There won't be any further damage. So the thing right here is saying that they didn't really care. Their consciences were numb to, you know, hearing what was good, you know, from the Spirit and discerning what was the difference between good and evil. They were focused promoting their agenda. So some of the groups like the Essenes and the Gnostics at that time, they forbid people to marry and ordered them to abstain from certain foods such as like meat, for example. What we see in verse 3 where it says, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it was, it is received with thanksgiving because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. You have a lot of people, a lot of different religions. You have a lot of different beliefs just in certain types of meat or meat in general. You know, I've had people, you know, approach me and talk about, you know, well, in the Garden of Eden, you know, they ate fruit and vegetables. And I'm like, you know, that's fine, you know, but I eat meat and I like meat, you know. What I try to pay attention to is I try to listen to my body more than anything, because I do know that everything God created is good and it's for our use. You know, it's what makes things bad is our approach, you know, or our overindulgence, you know, because of our personal lust. You know, so, yes, as I'm getting older, I realize there are certain things that I have to eat in moderation, and there are certain things that I have to kind of back away from, and that's fine. But here, spiritually, we're talking about these people misleading folks because of the groups that they were associated with, you know, trying to twist God's word. And it says everything, I repeat, everything God created was good. and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God in prayer. So the first thing that I do, whether it's a glass of water, whether it's a honey bun or a piece of cake, you know, or a slice of pizza, is one, I thank God for it, for the opportunity to be able to eat something and put it in my body for fuel. But I also ask him to bless it and to purify it and to use it for good in my body. So I receive it with thanksgiving, and is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. So after that, you know, then I indulge, because what God made is good. So one thing that we have to understand, the Bible warns a lot about, especially in the New Testament, a lot about false teachers and prophets. So we have to really just stick close to what the word says about anything, because there's a lot of different doctrines out there. There's a lot of different beliefs, because people have bright ideas and they twist things to fit their mode of living or their beliefs. And the word of God is what it is. The Bible defends itself. And the word of God is truth. It's the absolute truth. Amen. Amen. Verse 6 says, if you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. So really simple. He's saying everything should be centered around Christ Jesus. Your whole message should be pointing people to Christ Jesus, pointing them to his life, his death, burial, and resurrection. Everything should be centered around Christ Jesus. And once you do that, because he's reassuring Timothy here that you were brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. And for us who have been in the church, you know, for whether it's been 5 days or 50 years, it should be based upon the Bible. It should be based upon what Christ Jesus has done and what he's doing at this present time. Everything should point to Christ Jesus. It shouldn't point to your dietary restrictions. It shouldn't point to how you dress. It shouldn't point to, well, what I think or what I believe. It should strictly point to Christ Jesus. So Paul is reassuring Timothy that you need to point these things out to the brothers, to the leaders of the church in Ephesus at that time. And verse 7 says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. There are so many traditions in the church, so many lies and cliches that people have traded for the truth, that is, it is just utterly ridiculous. I've, you know, spoken to people over the years and even gotten into debates. And y'all pray for me, because I'm learning to not waste my oxygen. But people have come up with traditions and old wives' tales and basically myths and lies to try to get people to govern their lives a certain way based upon a lie. And it makes no sense. You know, I've heard people say, well, you're supposed to come to church dressed a certain way. You're not supposed to eat this. You're not supposed to do that. And the thing that I respond with is, show me in the Bible where it says that. And also be able to explain it in context based upon the time period that scripture was written. And who were they writing to? This is why it's so important for you to do research and for you to actually study the word of God, so that you don't get easily misled or sidetracked by lies, by myths, and things of that nature, because they still exist to this day. You know, the scary thing about reading the Bible based upon something that was written in AD 64 is that these things are still a problem today. So the only way to combat that is to be rooted in the Word of God, to read it and to understand it and to study it. And there's so many things. I mean, I literally watch Bible Project on YouTube, and it'll summarize the whole book of the Bible, literally, in illustration, in like animated form. And there's so many other resources that you can get off into to find things on the internet, books. I mean, things at the touch of your, right there at the touch of your hand, that you can find out about the Word of God. And, you know, to help you explain and understand it. And verse 8 goes on to say, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So it's saying that, you know, physical exercise and training has some value. It's good for your body. That's fine. But what counts more is godliness, because it has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. We need to understand a couple of things. One should be centered. How we live, what we think, what we believe should be centered around what the Word of God says, Christ Jesus being the center of your life. And another thing is that we need to understand that this life that we live in the physical right now, in the flesh, is temporal. I've said it over the years, and I'll continue to say it, eternity is not limited or constricted by time. Eternity is not constricted or limited by time. It goes on and on and on. So I had a great, great aunt, Aunt Zadie. She lived to be 100. That pales in comparison. That seems like a long time on earth, and I understand that. Pales in comparison to eternity. So it says godliness has value for all things, holding promise to both the present life and the life to come. Having your life centered around Christ Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit by your acceptance and being saved, and then walking that out and talking it out as you continue to develop a relationship with the Lord God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's what has value over everything, is godliness, walking in a relationship with the one living true God in this present life and the life to come. Amen. Verse 9 says, this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. My hope has to be in the Lord. If we could all agree that this life at times is a difficult roller coaster, it has awesome highs and sometimes devastating lows. What helps you maintain your sanity is your hope in the Lord, period. You know, a brother of mine, I'm going to say his name because I have to give him credit, Lavelle Davenport, he said, there's only one person who knows the numbers of hair on your head, that number, that specific number. And I said, yeah, the Lord. Like, my own mother didn't know how many hairs, you know, I have on my head. I mean, it's a few now because I'm bald, but I still have some fuzz there, so there's still some hairs. But only God knows that. So who best to put your hope in? I can't put my hope in a job. You guys know the story. I was laid off for 19 months and paying child support on unemployment. And I had everything I needed at that time. So my hope has to be in the Lord. And I hope and pray that your hope is rooted in the Lord and not things or people. Amen? 11 says, command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. So Paul is telling Timothy and instructing him to say, hey, when you approach these folks in Ephesus, command and teach these things. Teach the hope that your hope should be centered in the Lord. Teach that whatever God created is good when received in thanksgiving is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. And not to believe those myths and old wives' tales, but to understand that our hope is not in physical training or exercise, but godliness, which preserves us and keeps us in this present life and the life that's to come as far as eternity. Because it's heaven or hell, brothers and sisters. That's the eternity. That's the life to come. It's either or. So he's saying, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, because Timothy was a young man. He said, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. And that speaks to us. It should. As children of God, and even if you aren't saved, and I hope and pray that by the end of this broadcast, you will be. When you set an example for folks, it gives them in school what we used to call a visual aid, something that they can look at to help in their learning, to help in their development. So he says, but set an example for the believers in speech, how you talk. I work for the Department of Corrections, and I'll be the first to tell you, sometimes my mouth is terrible. And it's like a native language in that department, you know, and I can't blame the department because I know better. I've been saved since I was 10, but lately the Lord has been getting after me about my speech, what I say, certain words that I should use less and ultimately not use at all. So people hear us. They pay attention to how we talk and what we say. In life, how we live, how we walk, how we talk, how we have our being, how we have our existence, how we perform under pressure and at times of adversity, or how our attitudes, you know, that's our lives. That's, people see that. Someone's always watching you and paying attention to you, whether you realize it or not. In love, how we treat others, how we relate to the Lord. You know, we shouldn't just love folks that we like. We're commanded to love one another, period. And how you treat people, how you speak to people, that has a lot of weight. And I've been reminded of that recently and time and time and time again. Parenting has really helped me with loving folks, you know, through adversity and even when you're angry and upset. So I understand why it says in love. And then in faith, what we believe. You know, if you believe something, you'll walk that thing out no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what storms you're going through, no matter what chaos, no matter if you got a bad attitude today or woke up on the wrong side of the cage, whatever it is, what you believe is going to come out. I have to share this story. I looked at my student loan debt about 10 plus years ago, and I told the Lord, I said, this is a lot, and I need you to do something about it. So whether you bless my finances to pay it off, you know, whether you give me the grace to forgive it, to wipe it out, whatever you decide to do, I want to do that. Now, what he taught me was how to first manage my finances, to create a budget, an annual budget, and to revisit it from time to time, and to tithe, to feed, you know, my finances into ministries. you know, into the church I attend and into other things, and to be generous and to give and to save and to be responsible with paying taxes and bills and things of that nature. And I got a letter the other day saying that $175,044.37 in student loans have been forgiven, have been wiped out, because I work for the government, and I've been working for the government over 10 years. But it's not even really about working for the government. It's the fact that I presented it to the Lord because I believe that he could do something about it. And I've been riding high, like it's still a dream to me. I even went online and made sure that the actual debt was cleared, and it's, my balance is zero. And I'm going to share that story with people freely because I want them to believe and have the same faith that I had 10 plus years ago, where the Lord took care of that thing on February 15th of this year. I got the letter recently. You guys know how the government moves, but I'm fine with that. So in faith and in purity, you know, one thing that's difficult for us as humans is to walk and talk in purity. But what I'm learning is that just like I had to practice, you know, a craft and lifting weights and weight training and exercising and playing sports, it's the same principle. It's something that we can achieve. We just have to put it into practice. And the Lord has given us opportunities when we wake up and our eyes and ears work and our hearts are beating and our lungs are expanding to walk in purity. And for us to do these things, we have to have Christ Jesus as the center and have our hope in him. And to work, to walk and talk in godliness and to grow in our relationships with the Lord. Because one thing I'm finding out is that when you grow in your relationship with him, your relationships with other people will grow and develop. Even strangers, you'll just have a heart for people. So we have to be, as God's children, we have to be positive examples in these areas. And verse 13 says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Because I've been called to preach and teach the Word of God, it's just something that I'm going to continue to do for the rest of my life. But it says right here to devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and teaching. Paul is trying to encourage Timothy to, hey, walk in your gifting, your calling. And we don't all have to be called to be preachers or teachers, but we should all be able to share the Word of God and to share our testimonies of how we came through and how we got over because of the Lord. One thing that I try to do, I try to always point back to the Lord. I try to always give him the credit, because at any given moment, I can turn left. At any given moment, I can crap out. I'm just dust. But because of the Lord's very presence inside of me, he exposes abilities. He exposes time and talent and energies that I can promote because of him, based upon him, based upon the Scripture, the Word of God. So this is something that it speaks dearly to me, and I receive it to devote myself to sharing the Word of God. And I advise that you do the same. This message isn't just for Timothy, for the church of Ephesus. It's for all of us. Amen. Verse 14 says, do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. So he's talking about, again, encouraging Timothy, because Timothy was called to to do this. That's why he was sent and he was equipped to do so. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you who to talk to, what to say, what to do, what not to do, because it's God's very presence inside of you. Timothy was called to do this. And whatever you call, we all have callings. Whatever you call to do, if you get with the Lord and read the word and walk and talk in godliness with him and continue to develop your relationship with the Lord, he will expose what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing, what you should say, and what you shouldn't. Because we all have gifts. You know, that's one beautiful thing about, you know, babies that I can look into. Now, when I see a baby, I'm like, the Lord made them to be great and poured everything into that baby for their life to be great. And I even share with my own sons, I said, everything that you need, the Lord pumped into you. All you have to do is tap into it, because we all have it, because we're all creatures. We all were made and fashioned by the Lord. And not only that, as spirits, we've always existed. God always knew us. So everything we needed, he planted in us. And then he said, okay, I'm going to send John to be born of Marcia and Gary on March 1st, 77. He has everything he needs, all of his gifts, all of his talents, all of the greatness that I have for him for the rest of his earthly life and eternal life is already in him. He just needs to tap into it. And he knew that on October 31st, 1987, when I was 10 years old, that I would get saved. He knew all of that. I just had to realize it. And I hope that you realize it as well. Verse 15 says, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Again, living your life out and being a positive example for others to witness, to see, so that they can come to you and say, what is it about you? No matter what you're going through, you have a smile on your face. No matter what comes your way, you seem at peace. It gives you the opportunity to witness, to tell someone all about Christ Jesus and what he's done in your life and what he's done for all of us. Last but not least, verse 16 says, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Watch your life and doctrine closely. You really have to watch what you do, what you say, how you live closely. What you believe, what you read, what you take in. If your life is centered around Christ Jesus and you every single day you spend some time with the Lord in the Bible, in the Word of God, then it will be easy for you to do the things as far as living a godly life, to be a positive example. Now, I'm not saying that you won't have failures. You won't have things that easily beset you. The word promises that for all of sin, and we fall short of the glory of God, and that we will have trials and tribulations. That's the word of God. It's promised to us. But he's warning Timothy here to watch your life and your doctrine closely. If you pay attention to the things, if you just stand in the mirror butt naked and you examine yourself, you'll be able to point out certain things about you that you need to work on, things you need to stay away from, things you need to engage in. And you won't be so quick to judge anyone after you take a close look at how you live and what you do and what you say and what you believe, what you share with others, your doctrines. So it's saying watch that closely and persevere in them. You know, be diligent. Keep on practicing these things, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. You know, like God the Father, it's my will too that none should perish. And perish is talking about spending eternity in hell. It's my will, just like my Father's in heaven, that none should perish. That's why at the conclusion of each and every sermon or message or class, whatever I can, any platform that I have to share the word of God, I always present the sinner's prayer. I always give people the opportunity to find Jesus and to get saved. And it's real simple. If you believe that Jesus lived his life, he died on the cross, and he rose from the grave to pay for all of your sins, if you believe that genuinely in your heart of hearts, you're saved. That's the first part. You have to believe. The thief on the cross believed that Jesus was who he said he was and who he presented. And Jesus told him, this day you will be with me in paradise. Did the thief live a perfect life? No. Did the thief get it right all the time? No, he did not. I've been saved over 30 years. I still don't get it right. I mess up every single day. But I know what 1 John 1:9 says. If I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So he continues to wash me up and clean me up so that I can get back up and keep moving forward. So if you believe that Jesus lived, he died, and he rose to pay for all of your sins, past, present, and future, that's the first part. The second part is just an invitation. And you can repeat after me in prayer and say, Lord Jesus, I'm an admitted sinner. I believe that you lived, you died, and you rose from the grave to pay for all of my sins, past, present, and future. I invite you to come into my heart and life so that I can spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you believed, and only you know, if you believed in your heart of hearts that Jesus lived, he died, and he rose from the grave to pay for all of your sins, and you prayed that prayer, you're saved. You invited Jesus into your heart and life. So now what you need to do is get into the Word of God, the Bible, and get into a Bible-based church anywhere in your area. You know, I personally invite you to listen in to Blog Talk Radio. I personally invite you because I think in the first Sunday of next month, we will be at River Rouge High School in the LGI room having service again in person. Amen? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the instruction here for not just leaders in the Church of Ephesus, Lord, but for all of us who know about you and have read your word and who try to live your word, help us to be more godly and more righteous. Help us to pay close attention on how we live and what we do and what we say and everything so that it reflects your presence in our lives and that people will be saved and be able to spend eternity with you. We say thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What an awesome, awesome, awesome sermon. 102,185.50. That's my student loan number. And on January 2nd, 2023, I got some correspondence and I glanced over it, paid it zero attention until I had to go backwards. And it said my loans were forgiven, not deferred, not set off to the side, not we gonna come back and get this later, but forgiven, gone, wiped out completely because of my almost 24 years with my government employer. And I still look every day like, okay, Jesus, I'm trying to make sure this number don't show back up. because thank you just doesn't seem like enough. God knows our future. He knows the plans that he has for us. He knows everything that he has set up for us, even though we're only in this day and in this moment. But we have to trust God. He is awesome, and he is always going to keep his promises, and he is faithful. The word that was preached today is not just an excellent word for the youth, for those who are just getting saved and those who are just starting off in the word, but for the rest of us who've been in the word for a while, who should be a little bit more mature in the word that we are, God is still faithful. He is awesome. And if we just dedicate our lives to him and give him and do what it is that he's asking us to do, we will most definitely be prosperous in everything that we do. The time that we have on this earth, just like Pastor Jonathan said, is not long. But the time that we spend in eternity is a long, long, long time. And so Pastor O always says, the old folks always used to say, only what you do for Christ will last. And so that word is an awesome reminder word for us to just realign ourselves with the word of God and to just remember what he says and to just be obedient. He will never leave us and he will never forsake us. So Pastor Jonathan, so much was said today, but you gave us a little bit of black coffee, and so we appreciate it. You normally don't give us black coffee, but we got black coffee today. So amen. We thank you so much for the word that you brought to us today. God is so amazing, and sometimes thank you doesn't seem like enough. I needed my mom's energy when I got that letter because I didn't believe it. And I'm like, Lord, if I could just call her and say one thing, I just needed her to shout with me. I told my son, and he was like, look at God. I said, okay, that's not enough. I told my daddy, he said, well, just say thank you and put it in a plastic bag and put it away. Thank you just didn't seem like enough. But God knows what he has us doing, and he doesn't want us burdened and unnecessarily chained down to things that, you know, we don't need, because he has a purpose for us and he wants us to be free. So if you didn't listen yesterday to Pastor Sarah's message about being chained down, the word, I can't think of the word, but just go back and listen to her sermon yesterday. Okay, just go back and listen to her sermon yesterday. And it goes in conjunction with what Pastor Jonathan preached about today. Amen. So happy Sunday, everybody. Good morning. Just by way of a couple of reminders, don't forget that our Blog Talk Radio Saturday Church School is here on Blog Talk Radio on Saturdays at 9 a.m. Do not forget that our Blog Talk Radio Saturday Worship Service is here on Blog Talk Radio on Saturdays at 10 a.m. And Pastor Jonathan was right. Beginning next Sunday, March the 5th, 2023, we got to get up and get out. Okay, we can't do church in our pajamas anymore, amen, because we will begin having our in-person worship services beginning at 9 a.m. with our Sunday school and 10 a.m. with our Sunday worship services in person at River Rouge High School in the LGI auditorium, okay? So that's next Sunday, the 5th, beginning at 9 a.m. with our Sunday school and 10 a.m. with our Sunday worship service at River Rouge High School in the LGI auditorium, 1460 West Coolidge in River Rouge, Michigan. If you need directions, Pastor has sent out an email giving you directions from every direction on how to get to the school. So if you're directionally challenged like I am, you definitely want to check your email and get those instructions, because it tells you north, south, east, west, southwest, southeast, whatever direction you're coming from, it tells you exactly how to get to the school. Amen. So do not forget to set your alarm, okay, to get up, to get in person on our worship service. Again, next Sunday, 9 a.m., Sunday school, 10 a.m., worship service begins, River Rouge High School, LGI Auditorium, 1460 West Coolidge in River Rouge, Michigan. Amen. We're so excited. Amen. Don't forget, Mondays at 6 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio, we will continue with our class on 2 Peter. Read chapter 6 in the book, 2 Peter by Charlie Avila, and answer the questions that Pastor O sent out related to the chapter. Deaconess June Rogers has her set of questions that work in conjunction with the questions that are in the back of the book. And so those are the questions that we did discuss last week. And Pastor O has sent out some new questions for chapter 6 of this week. So they're also posted on our church website, rfcm.org. The book is getting good, y'all, okay, talking about false teachers and judgment. Pastor Jonathan talked about that also today. So if you haven't read anything up until this point and you have the book, it's okay. It's not too late to jump in. Just get in, read chapter 6, and work your way backwards, and then at least you'll be caught up. And then just get in on the discussion, amen. I don't know how many more chapters we have left. I do know we'll probably have another couple of weeks, but again, it's not too late. Jump in, read chapter 6, get the questions. Those are what we discuss in class, and just be ready to talk about it, amen, because the book, again, is getting good, amen. Don't forget, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with his series Training Day. Every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we have our Bible reading classes here on Blog Talk Radio. If you are on Pastor's email list, questions have already been sent out. Sister Rebecca Johnson will be standing in the gap for me for these next 2 weeks. Thank you so much, Sister Rebecca. She will be doing Ezekiel chapters 26 to 30 this week. Okay, so the questions have been sent out. They are on our church website, rfcm.org. And again, I said if you are on Pastor's email list, they have already been sent out as well. Also, do not forget, every Friday at 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is here on Blog Talk Radio with her show, Bring Back the Family. Every Saturday at 11:30 a.m., Bondage Breaker Ministries holds a women's Bible class. It is taught by Pastor Janice Tate, who is the president of Bondage Breaker Ministries. So if you would like to participate in that, please go to our church website, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources, and click on Bondage Breaker Ministries, and you will have the info there to reach out to Pastor Janice and to get information on how to get in her women's Bible class. Amen. If you would like to pay your tithes or give any offerings online, again, church website, rfcm.org, is the place to handle your business. So on Sundays, when another pastor preaches that it's not Pastor O, we take up an offering for them in accordance with 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13. Amen. So if you would like to give a love offering for Pastor Jonathan Tate, who brought us the word today, please visit the church website and say, this offering is for Pastor Jonathan Tate. Amen. And the offering will be passed on to him accordingly. Amen. So the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and with everyone else that we are enabled to help through your consistent and generous giving throughout the year. Amen. Again, rfcm.org, church website, jobs, resources, classes, services, all types of things, all types of information. Bless yourself, bless others. Just put rfcm.org on your social media. People click on links all the time. Amen. This will be a link that is not going to send them to spam. This is not going to be a link that's going to steal their information. This is not going to be a phishing link. Just put it out there on your social media. People will click on it. And you never know by just planting that seed, okay, what you might be doing. So just put that out there on your social media, rfcm.org. People are going to click on it. They're either going to get something out of it or they're not. But if you plant that seed, got to do everything else. Amen. So just make sure to share that information because you might not know what someone else needs, but God knows. Amen. So just plant that seed and let him come through and do everything else that he needs to do. Amen. Also, it's 2023. We should be checking our emails on a regular basis. So make sure you do that because Pastor does send out information all the time, regularly, to our emails, especially about things that are happening at Run for Christ Ministries. So make sure you're checking your email. Amen. We always want to say, what's up? Good morning. We love you to all of our mothers at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. We always had at least one of them in person holding it down for the rest of the mothers on Sundays. And I know Blog Talk Radio is easier for them, but we are definitely looking forward to seeing them in person beginning on Sunday. So we just always want to say good morning to them and that we love them. Amen. So, excuse me, even though we're going to be back in person, please don't stop reaching out to one another. Please don't stop doing what you've done in these last couple months that we haven't been in person. People like to be checked on. They like to, you know that people care about them. And whether you send a card, a text, an email, edible arrangement, flowers, whatever it is that you do, even though we're going to be back in person with one another, please make sure you don't stop that. Amen. We just always want to make sure that everybody is doing okay. Amen. So please continue to pray for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. Pray for the construction / reconstruction of our church building, even though we are going to be displaced for a little while. We would like to think at some point in time we will be back in our actual church building. So just continue to pray for the progress on that. Continue to pray for Nico Gaston, Nicole Seabrooks, Deacon Rayfield, excuse me, Rogers, Doris Gaither, of course, as well as Nakia. Again, all of our mothers at Run for Christ Ministries, Mothers on the Move, as we call them, Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Continue to pray for Keila Freeman and Ed Johnson. Also continue to lift up Pastor O and Sheila. They're going in different directions, doing a lot of different things and still trying to maintain Run for Christ and Blog Talk Radio and doing everything that they always do. Please continue to pray for Sheila's brother, Dwayne. Amen. Continue to pray for our president, our vice president, and our leaders of our country and all of our communities. Pray for all of our children and our young adults, okay? Pray for one another. Of course, don't forget to pray for yourself. A big, big thing for me is just to pray for all those who are bereaved, mourning, and grieving. Those are families and people everywhere, okay? Pray for those who've lost their loved ones in the earthquakes that happened over in Turkey and Syria. But even close to home, you know, with the mass shooting that happened at Michigan State University, that was super, super close to home. And so just please keep all of our students and our parents and our teachers and our faculty, those are responsible for keeping our kids safe while they're in schools, lifted up in prayer, okay? We had some bad weather come through a couple of days ago, and we still got a lot of people who are without power. And I thought it was kind of funny because, you know, DTE managed to do a commercial talking about the bad weather that happened. I'm like, y'all had time to do a commercial. How about y'all get these people power on? But we know they can only do so much and it can only happen so fast. But continue to pray for those who are still without power. Okay, people are displaced. They're you know, staying with family members and hotels and things like that. So it's really an inconvenience for a lot of people. So just continue to pray that power is restored ASAP. Amen? Amen. So it's the last Sunday of the month. So happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated their birthday this past week, if they're celebrating today, or if they celebrated in the entire month of February. Amen. I had two birthdays on my list, even though there's probably more out there, but that's okay. Mother Marilyn celebrated her birthday on the 7th, and Dr. Nico Gaston, you heard her beautiful daughter Nedra this morning. She celebrated her birthday on the 21st, so happy, happy birthday to you all. Amen. And last but not least is your devotional for today, and it's entitled, Make Your Time Count. Amen. Make Your Time Count. And this is by Pastor Rick Warren, and he is the lead pastor at Saddleback Church. Use your time in the best way you can. That's Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. If you want to get ready to be used by God, there are a few steps you need to take. First, you need to get to know Jesus Christ. Amen. Then you need to start using your time in view of eternity. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 says to use your time in the best way that you can. Time is your most precious resource. It's far more important than money. You can get more money, but you can't get more time. In this life, you only have a certain amount of time allotted to you. You can't make time, you can't borrow time, you can't save time, and you can't extend time. You can only use it. We all have the same amount of time every week, 168 hours. If you don't learn to manage your time well, you cannot manage anything else in your life because your time is your life. So how do you use your time? Excuse me, how you use your time is one of the ways God tests you on earth as you prepare for eternity. He's watching to see how you manage your time now to determine what he's going to have you do in eternity. One of Satan's strategies is to get you so busy doing unimportant things that you don't have time for life's important things like preparing for eternity. Satan knows that he doesn't have to get you to sin. If he can't get you to be bad, he'll just get you to be busy. The Bible tells you exactly what you should be doing with your time in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. God wants to use you, but he can only do that when you're investing your time in the most important things. You've got to use your time in view of eternity. And you've got to ask yourself, how much of what I'm spending my time on is going to count 5 or 10 years from now? How much is going to count in eternity? Then you've got to refocus. So use your time in view of eternity so God can see that you are focused on the main thing, which is his purposes. Amen? Amen. Those are your announcements.
Hold up, Chris. I'm running out of time. Wait a minute, I'm finna buy something. This little leprechaun, he said he's finna sell me 50 years worth of time. Wait a minute, where'd he go?
Oh, my God.
Oh, the little leprechaun has disappeared. I can't even buy time, Chris. So I was going to get me and you some. Amen.
No.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No more time.
No more time.
It's amazing how that matches. Jonathan is preaching about, Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate preaching about those latter days, and that's all about time running out. And you know, he always says time ain't as long as it has been.
Time ain't long.
Amen.
That's right.
Exactly.
Time ain't long.
Time's running out.
Ooh. Amen.
But it's been an awesome service today, awesome weekend. It all started with, you know, Cat Show on Friday was off the hook. If you didn't get a chance to listen to her show on Friday, the young people were running things. And God Almighty, it will refresh your spirit about this life and our future as a people, okay, to see that God still got a tight hold. She had about 4 or 5 young folks on there, and they just really went to town. So you need to check them out and have your kids tune in and listen to see what young people are capable of doing. They ran the entire show from beginning to end, and that was awesome. Shania, we hear from her a lot. She was the one who was running the switchboard, so that's some awesome stuff there. So anyway, you get a chance to listen to Kathy's show, and then, you know, Janice, you know, what do you say about Pastor Janice Tate? I mean, super teacher, right? Amen. Saturday was off the hook. And then Kat lined up all those young people yesterday. And you got to go back and listen to it. It was just off the hook. And then capping this weekend off with today, Crystal, it was just awesome. And then you closing us out, amen, with a devotion to put the icing right on top. Time.
Amen.
Use your time wisely. Jesus on
That's
his way
right.
back. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Crystal.
Yes, he is. You're welcome.
And prayerfully, everybody get their power and internet. You know, I was all ready to do things at home in my pajamas, but then the internet went out. And so I'm like, Jesus, really? We just went through 5 days with no power. Now, but we had power because we had a generator, but we had no television because no internet. But still, we had power because we got a generator. But, you know.
Yeah.
It was tough.
Not the same.
No TV.
Our modern
TV.
Yeah. Like, wait a minute.
I was
no
ready
TV,
to go to
I'm
heaven,
dying,
Chris. So I was
I'm
like,
dying.
Come get me,
yeah,
Jesus. I'm the one with no internet. Amen. I ain't got no internet. I don't want to live. Amen.
<That's>
but
how
I
we
made it.
Like, wait a minute.
I don't want to live. No internet. Already
no
ain't got no peanut, no
Take
butter, no ham. No eggs, you know, so I'm ready to go, Jesus. Too tired.
Take me home.
Had internet, no net. But anyway, Crystal, let me get out of here. God, man, well, I don't even know why you get me started.
It's
but anyway.
Not even me. I don't know what happened. Amen.
Oh, wow. And Queen Nedra, she is just awesome, ain't she?
Amazing, amazing. Medical field, she is going to be so good. And then Hunter yesterday, little baby Hunter, oh, my God, it was so sweet. Like, oh, my God, it's just amazing. The kids are amazing.
It was unbelievable.
So
yes, right, little Hunter and all the rest of them doing everything.
Goodness.
The whole thing.
Everything.
They did the whole show. That lets me know that God already got this thing hooked up. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Whew. Okay, Crystal, I'm good.
All right, amen.
Jonathan, like, what you mean? You good? I preach.
Yes.
Ooh, have a blessed day, Crystal.
Amen.
Tell me I
you
say
too.
What's up.
Will do.
Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you who tuned in, and we pray that you avail yourself to all these services and everything. And I'm, as you heard Pastor Jonathan say, next week. We will be at River Ridge High School. You heard Crystal say it. So I'm looking forward to being back in person so I can do my snake walk and the bum rush and, amen, all that good stuff, amen. It's on, y'all. It's on. I'm ready. I'm probably going to do all of them just to do them, amen. But anyway, God bless you. God keep you. Have yourself a wonderful Sunday. This is the day that the Lord has made. So rejoice and be glad in it. If you're doing something else, that ain't Jesus' fault, right? Amen. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord watch between you and me. May the Lord bless all of us and be with us. Amen. And may the communion of the Holy Spirit have his way in us all this week long. In Jesus' name, the whole church said, amen.
We'll have our second time around. But before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in the light every day. He's right there when we call. In him is where my strength lies. I lift my eyes beyond the sky. Only he can save my life. And only he. I wanna thank you, God, for giving me one more day to raise my voice and to sing your praise. I sing it out loud. I sing it all day. This song is my prayer I give to only you. I know it can't compare to the gift from you. You gave me.
Now I say amen.